Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. We have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and, well, science. We did a lot of science the last 2 weeks. We actually repeated a show for two weeks running. It wasn't because I thought it was the greatest show ever made, but it was heavily into science. I know some of you have a great interest in that. Others are saying, well, you know, 2 weeks in a row, the same thing. But I was just unavailable last week to do it live. So we put on the same show. You know, I said it'd be good to rerun that show because some people were still scratching their heads from the week before anyway. And so maybe a second time around wasn't such a bad idea. If you didn't like it, I'm sorry. But, you know, we could have picked, I guess, a show from a year or two ago or something like that. But I said rerun it. Anyway. Today's show is on spiritual treason. And you might say, what? How does that fit? Why do those words even fit together? Spiritual treason. Okay, well, I got a lot to tell you about this, actually. And let me start off with the idea of what is treason. Just so that, you know, a lot of people, you know, treason isn't the thing where they hang you or something or give you the chair or bad things. It's a very bad crime, right? I mean, it's like a terrible crime. It is. It's a crime oftentimes but it doesn't have to be this way, but it oftentimes involves clandestine and deceptive factors. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, you could be do a crime of treason that you're completely open about, but most people don't. It is a crime that usually goes against the larger good. And it's usually applied to nations because that's what people consider the larger good is a national or some. I guess you could be in treason against a state, you know, a part of a nation or something like that. By state, I'm thinking of the United States, of course. There could be a state that is a nation, of course. And so, generally speaking, the concept is someone who is trying to sabotage or destroy the better common good of a large group, usually associated with nations. I mean, let's face it, that's how it's usually used, right? Spiritual treason is a little bit bigger than that, because to me, spiritual treason goes beyond just the question of someone being a traitor in a specific nation, because if you think about it, some of the worst nations in history had people they claimed were traitors to them and committed treason. If you think about it, that's probably true. But what I'm saying is that spiritual treason is treason that is against the thought and to some extent even actions, we'll get to that part later, of our Creator or God. So if you're against the thought and what that thought may mean in terms of being put into action of God, that to me is spiritual treason, because you're acting in a way or you're even thinking in a way that is deceptive to others about what God really is, and that is oftentimes clandestine. But again, treason itself doesn't have to be that, but that's usually the way it's conducted. So that's what I'm saying about spiritual treason. But if it is involving a nation on a national level, then that nation basically is more on the side of spirit or God's thought than not. That doesn't mean that everything that nation does is some way, you know, the thought of God, because nations seldom have they're checkered. They don't have a history where everything they do is so wonderful for everybody. But there are some nations that are more on the side of God by far than have nations that have not been. And so there could be traitors who committed treason in both accounts, but the ones that would be considered spiritual traitors and be guilty of spiritual treason would be those who were in the nation doing so in nations that were here primarily, but not all the time, doing good. Okay? So that's what I'm talking about with spiritual treason. Now, does it have to be nations? No, it doesn't. But in this case, actually, for today's show, I'm kind of going to be talking about nations. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be talking about the United States. And this sounds weird. Like, whoa, you're talking about the United States. That's like crazy. What is going on in the United States? I mean, we've had some bad traitors here and there on occasion. I don't think we've had that many, by the way. I don't think the United States is like filled in its history with traitors. There have been some. And when they have done their deeds, sometimes they've done considerable damage to the country. But in general, I think we've been pretty well, fortunate that there hasn't been a lot worse. Because we're a big country, and we're an important country, probably worldwide, we have tremendous effects. And so that makes us important. And it's good that we've generally not had the level of traitors that some kinds of countries have had in the past. That's a good thing. Now, I want to talk about a very specific element, and I'm going to just read something to you, if I may. This is from the United States Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, what is this? Clause 8. Wow, I got everything on there, huh? Thanks to those who came up with this for me. They pulled it off someplace, the internet, I assume. I'm just going to read this. This is the executive oath of office, although there are oaths of office very similar to this for all the different departments in government, etc. It's going to take a few seconds, so don't bear with me. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of blank. Okay, it could be the president, it could be off, if you're a congressional person, whatever, of the United States, and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Yeah, that's pretty simple. I told you it wasn't going to take long. And the interesting thing about this is that anyone who chooses to can think about, can practice, can philosophize, can say that they promote and will take action on any thought that they want as a citizen of the United States, or even a person who's visiting the United States under the Constitution of the United States. Those are their rights. However, if a person takes this particular oath that I just read, they now are limited in all the things I just said, other than thinking. I think that that's probably outside the domain of most people's perception of what we can and cannot do. But all the other things I said beyond thought are limited by this oath. So if someone were to, by the fact that they take actions or they promote or they were to in some way try to get others to be influenced or promote something that would not preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, they would be a traitor if they've taken this oath. And they could be charged and tried for treason. I want you to realize that this is a lot of people now. It's not just the people in our politics. All the people in our armed forces take a similar oath. That's a lot of people. That's like 1.5 million people. And many people in various, we'll say, offshoots of political office also take an oath similar to this for various reasons. So this is not a small thing. This is a big deal. And you can say, well, why is this a spiritual thing? Well, because, and I'm going to say this with some, again, degree of, we'll say, conditionalism or conditions, that the the United States is an extremely important country, not because it is rich or powerful, or we have all these nuclear weapons, probably not for that reason, but because of what we stand for. And what we stand for is in the Constitution. And when a person takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, they are taking an oath that has to do with spiritual principles, which are incorporated within both the Constitution and its predecessor, the Declaration of Independence, and in some cases, certain other documents that were created around the same time. That's what makes us special. What also makes us special is that we not only have this device or instrument, but that we actually live, for the most part. Remember, conditions are important here. There are conditional factors that there are exceptions to this by far. For the most part, we at least attempt, if not always succeeding, to live by the Constitution and by the connected laws that the Constitution has enabled to take place. This is a country that lives more by what it says it believes in than most other countries do. And that's what's so important about it. And what it says it lives by, in comparison to almost all other countries, are ideals that it can't yet achieve on a consistent basis, but it strives for, and that's where the conditional problems arise. But nonetheless, those who take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend must continue to do what they've taken an oath to do, or they're traitors. That's my opinion. Now, if you want, you can call it. You can blast me. You can say anything you want. If you don't like what I'm saying, that's okay. I don't mind. But I'm trying to put this within some context because I'm going to talk about something, some things else that are more, we'll say, topical and are happening at the present time that I have some concerns about. And I want to show, I want to blend these concerns with the, we'll say, ideas and concepts that I'm bringing to you this evening. Okay. Now, let me tell you about, if you don't already know, there's a fellow on television. His name is Glenn Beck. Some of you may have heard of him. I would imagine a lot of you may not. That's okay. He's gotten his name out there in the last few months, especially because he joined recently a news network that is called Fox News. Some of you may be familiar with it, may not be. And he used to be on another news network called CNN. And while he was there, he was kind of not well known because he wasn't promoted maybe as much, and I don't know that he was willing to put himself out quite to the same level as he's doing right now. And so he got over to Fox, and suddenly he says, oh, this is home for me, and he's willing to go a little further with his investigations and other stuff. He is not a journalist. He's more a commentator and, interestingly, an investigator of things that he doesn't think are either right or could be improved upon, et cetera. That's at least how I read him in what I've been listening to. And I think he's a pretty good guy from the standpoint that he seems to be focused out more than self-focused as an individual. I don't know him in any personal sense. I don't want you to think that, like, oh, you're just telling me about me. You know, I'm not. I don't know him, really. But it does seem, you know, that doesn't mean I haven't necessarily had some communication of some sort. You know, I don't want you to think I'm totally have had nothing, because there's been, you know, I've sent him some stuff and messages, and but I don't know him in any other respect. And so consequently, you know, I can't really say what he's like as a person outside of how you might see him. But nonetheless, I'm impressed with what he tries to do. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to reveal things that seem to be behind the scenes, things that may be going on that we are unaware of in a political sense and in a news sense. So I applaud anybody who wants to reveal things, and that's part of what I see him in his mission in life, so to speak. And recently, certainly in the last couple months, but even more recent than that, he has been revealing really some, we'll say controversial, to say the least, but even more than that, scary facts. Because they're facts, because when he reveals stuff, he usually includes tapes of people talking, usually videotapes, so you can just witness whatever he's saying, so there really is little or no question about his claims, because he doesn't tend to make claims unless he has something to back them up. And so what he does is he'll take a clip, and he plays a long enough part of it so it's not like a sound bite where somebody can edit, you know, away the real meaning of what's being said. More often than that, he tries to just give the viewer a good feel for what it is that he's trying to, as an expose, reveal. And he's been working more on questions about who the President of the United States has chosen as his advisors and helpers, people who work with him in the White House, and his close associates, basically. And also clips that the President, President Obama, stating that you will know what he's like by who he associates himself with. These are statements that the President has made so that others will know what he's like. Because some people say, well, we really don't know much about you. Well, just look at all the people who I've chosen to work with, and then you can draw your own conclusions. Well, Glenn Beck has kind of taken him up on that. So, okay, let's find out who these people are that he has chosen, and then we'll be able to better understand. Because a few months ago, he was saying he didn't understand our president and the things he was saying and doing, and he wanted some answers. He couldn't get them in any direct way, so he went and started checking out the people who are working for and with the president to find out more. Now, some of the things that have been frightening to me, and maybe to other people, is about a dozen or more of the people who are like higher echelon advisors and or people with higher degrees of responsibility in the administration who had the ear of the president, so to speak. This is a word he uses, that Glenn Beck uses, are people who are self-proclaimed Marxist communist people who sometimes have even an affection and an affinity for some very, tyrannical kinds of leaders, Che of Guevara's and I'm trying to think. His buddy Castro, Fidel Castro, and his brother. I forgot his brother's name now. And also Mao Zedong. And that's a scary guy. Well, I'll talk more about him in a couple minutes. Of course, Hugo Chavez. And the guy that just got tossed out of Honduras. I don't remember his name. He's sitting in an embassy in Honduras right now, kind of stuck there. And they threw him out because he was trying to take over the government. Just a whole bunch of other really tyrannical, nasty leaders of countries that are highly Marxist kinds of people. Now, Marxism is a philosophy and an economic means of creating a society, an economic society, it is not necessarily, it does not have to be run by tyrannical people. This is the interesting thing about Marxism. It tends to be adopted by people who want to have absolute power and control and who are megalomaniacs and who oftentimes are severe murderers and killers. There isn't a, just so you know, there isn't a heck of a lot of difference between Marxism, which is, of course, communism comes from Marx and Engels' theories, but, and, strangely, fascism, which is, there's a really very close, they're very closely competing systems, even though they were enemies 50, 60, 70 years ago or more. They're really very similar. So people, when they talk about fascism and Hitler, Hitler is not much different than Stalin. So just so you understand, even though they were eventually on different sides of each other. Originally they were, you know, they weren't. They were allies, but then Hitler attacked Russia and they became enemies. However, they really are very close. And the reason these systems are so designed to attract such hideous figures as these kinds of people have been is that the system lends itself to destroying freedom and taking over the lives of people by the government and controlling extinguishing the free will of individuals for the sake of the country, the sake of the nation, with the nation becoming a replacement for God. So what you find in these states is a pretty much godless kind of governmental regime that tends to try to extinguish religion if possible, and to enforce a kind of, we'll call it, single-minded, atheistic, and we'll even say pseudoscientific society in which the government becomes the decider of all truth. That's why it's pseudoscience, because science is the seeking of truth. And in these governments and these societies that are run by them, there is no seeking the truth. So there's no real science. But they pretend that everything is very scientific because that replaces God. Okay, so here we have, and I know we've come a long way from where I started, but I want you to get a feel for what's going on because I'm going to tell you now what Glenn Beck has been finding, a dozen or more people of the stature. One of them is called the White House Director of Communications. This sounds like a pretty big title to me. I don't know how important she really is, but she may be important. I'm not going to give her name out because I don't know that I want to at this point. But this woman... he played her yesterday, her little couple minutes, a few minutes of her giving a speech. And I'm just using her as an example because it's just the most recent. He's given a whole bunch of other ones that have similar context. And in this example, she says, and I'm only paraphrasing, please, do not consider this a quote. My favorite philosopher and the person that I go to help me make my decisions in life and that I depend upon in promoting my principles, one of the people is Mao Zedong. And any other one she mentioned, who I have absolutely no problems with, is Mother Teresa. But the bizarre thing about this is that her first choice is Mao Zedong. And the reason she gave was bizarre because Mao Zedong is up there. He's one of the two or three worst dictators in all of history. I mean, even if you go back to, you know, some of the really bad people in early history, you know, we had some really bad times. I mean, everybody thinks about Hitler. Hitler was really bad. There's no question about it. But if you go back, you know, thousands of years ago, there were some pretty bad characters back there, too. But Mao Zedong, it may be number one if you just go by the number of people that he subjected to tyranny, and his system is still controlling the largest population of people in the world, the largest country in population. Close to India, but there's still it's still, I think, a little bigger. That's China, of course. Communist China. And he killed more people. Directly, he killed probably 70 or so million, but indirectly, it's in the hundreds of millions if you include all the people he killed getting to be dictator by killing off a lot of people who were the nationalists. Now, the nationalists, Chiang Kai-shek, and they're like, were also kind of crooked. So you have to take into account that it wasn't like you just had, oh, the wonderful light against the darkness. It was kind of the murky against the really dark. But still, I'll take the murk over the real dark if I have to choose. And so here is your favorite guy, and not only as a philosopher, but the person she really applies in her life. And she's in this really high position. Interestingly, she's also the person in charge of, quote-unquote, now checking out Glenn Beck, apparently. And so, I mean, this kind of thing is very scary. Because, now, I don't know that, I don't think she has to take the oath that I told you. But she works for the man who does. And he's responsible for her. And that's the President of the United States. And so does the Vice President take this oath. And if she is the kind of person that she has professed herself to be, not who Glenn Beck has said anything about. I mean, he really didn't say anything. He just put her on and let her speak on June 5th of this year. That's a very scary thing because it's possible that the people who she works for are traitors. And I want you to think about that. And they're spiritual traitors. That's what I'm really saying. I'm not saying they're just traitors, because, like I said, a traitor in Nazi Germany may have been a hero, a great person, one of the greatest in the world. Who knows? But a traitor in this country, someone who is not trying to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, is committing treason if they've taken an oath to do that. And I know some of you are scratching your heads and say, boy, has this guy gone over the deep end? Well, maybe I have. But I'm just very concerned because, again, this is not coming secondhand. This is really coming from, you could say, well, maybe they doctored the tape. It's possible. And that's why I'm not giving you her name right now. But if that tape wasn't doctored, and I think they used a couple tapes, by the way, then I'm quite concerned of her. But I've seen other tapes of about a dozen other people who have said some similar things. And we'll talk more about that when we come back from break in about 2 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Wildlife Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And yes, I guess I'm probably going to get some emails from today's show, I would imagine. Okay. So, let me continue on, because did I really just say that possibly the president and vice president of the United States, people who work for them, because people who work for them are breaking their oath of office, and they work for them, am I saying that they may be traitors? They may be. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if all this stuff is true, and there's a big word in there, it's called if. That, in my mind, would be the case, based upon what I've heard so far. Now, I hope I'm wrong, because this is one of the most frightening things I think I've ever experienced in my lifetime. It's one of the more frightening things, if the most frightening thing, I've read about in historical accounts based upon things that have happened in countries as well. Not that anything terrible is happening at this very moment, but the future is what I am concerned about. And I mean a more or less immediate future. And I'll take that a step further as we proceed. But let me continue. All right, so there's about a dozen or so other examples of what I just have talked about. I'm not here to repeat Glenn Beck's shows or do anything like that. I'm talking today about someone who is committing spiritual treason, a treason that is against God itself. And that the real bottom line of this is that people who do this sort of thing have usually very hidden agendas. They are not clear about who and what they are. And they give clues, they may have given clues, but other people may not have picked them up as well. But they're certainly not extremely forthcoming. And it could end up in a circumstance in which grave amounts of damage are done to the entire world because we, the United States, are a nation. We are a nation that affect everything else. So it's a world event. This may be a world crisis that we're facing. And the treason is not just against the United States, if there is such treason. It's against everyone on this planet. So this is a very, very scary thing. And in each one of the examples that were used on Mr. Beck's show, there was an example of the person basically being a resembler of the same kind of what called treasonable thought, actions, behaviors, because there's like a theme. There's a theme to this thing. And the theme appears to be that the promotion is the promotion of the communist, and I'll even go further, the revolutionary communist doctrine. Now, I know a lot of people have been saying about socialism. Socialism is, again, oftentimes adopted under communism. It's a type of means for the government to control everything. It's where government controls most of the big parts of industry, business, etc., including medicine. And it leaves very little room for individual expression. It reduces significant competition, and it leads to the suppression and the reduction of civil liberties and of people being able to be free and have liberty. That's what socialism does. It works best, but not as good as a free market economy. It works best in small countries where the people are very democratic and have the ability to control the government in fine detail. And in those situations, it really just becomes an expression of the democratic process. It does not work well in countries much larger than a couple of million to like 10 million people, because it can't be then finally massaged based upon the needs or wants of the people, but becomes largely just the dictatorial whinings and desires of those in power. So socialism is not a good thing to begin with. But we're beyond socialism with the people that I've seen from Glenn Beck's show. We're into a totally different genre than that. Because, as I said, there are some countries, we know of them, you know, the countries that are, are part of the European coalition. Some of them are highly socialistic in some ways, especially the northern ones. But nonetheless, those are smaller countries for the most part. In this situation, this is taking a bend that's moving more towards revolutionary type of Maoist, communistic, which could be also some socialistic, but it's not real socialism. It's just tyranny. And it's controlling. It's desires to be self-controlling and to redistribute wealth, but not for the benefit necessarily of anybody. Everybody says, well, that'll benefit all the poor people. No, it doesn't benefit the poor people. You may think it benefits poor people because, oh, well, we'll give them what they want and sometimes need. If you give people what they want and even need, and they don't have to do very much to get it, you're not benefiting them. You're turning them into slaves. You're making them dependent upon you, and you're controlling who and what they are. Because they aren't earning. They aren't growing. They aren't developing themselves to become something greater. And they won't become greater. They'll become less. Now, I believe in charity by far. I believe in helping people to help themselves. I believe in giving people assistance to grow themselves, so they can independently and creatively develop themselves into something better. But that isn't giving them what they need or want. That's basically trying to help them to find ways to do it for themselves. Give them the absolute minimum basics, because I don't want people to suffer or to die. And neither does anybody else, I hope. But at the same time, don't make it so that they become an average. They become some kind of robot controlled by a welfare state that appeases them and keeps them numb and blind. This is not what we want in this country. And so I think, and I am very concerned, that this could be what's coming. And if it is what's coming, I'll do everything I can, and I'll ask all other people who hear me to try to do the same, to stop it. Because if we are really moving in this direction, this is a dangerous, dangerous time. Again, because it's spiritual treason, not because I happen to be a certain political persuasion. Because I'm actually not of a certain political persuasion. I may surprise you. I find good and I find bad in all the different politics of people. I'm just against things that are apolitical, that are tyranny, that are destructive to the common good, and that destroy the very essence of God's own thought. What is God's thought? Well, it's freedom and choices and purpose and liberty and creativity joined with love and givingness and on a wise, in a wise way, not giving to those that will be harmed by the giving. And it's also planning and producing a inclusive society, but not a society that is become a bunch of robots or automatons. So this is really what I believe in. It may not be what you believe in. You may believe in something that has, you know, a different ring than what I'm saying. But these are the principles that I find. This is what I understand to be the meaning of spiritual or God's thinking. And I promote that. I promote that in every way, including politically, but not as a specific party or as a specific kind of only one way of expressing these things. I've already told you that the Democrats tend to be more about the second part of God's mind, which is the love part. Hey, that's cool. That's great. We need, if we're going to have polars, then that's one way to be polarized. And then Republicans have tended toward, more towards the independent, creative, liberty type of thinking, and therefore Democrats think usually, because planning is so strong in their approach, that the government might be helpful, whereas Republicans think just the opposite. It cuts down freedom, it reduces liberty, and so they tend to move more towards government. Less government is good government. You should be aware that if we were to examine the principles of the founders of the United States, they definitely wanted limited government more on an average than not. That's not to say they didn't have their differences right from the get-go about this very subject. It all began right at the Constitutional Convention, and before that, even at the time when the Declaration of Independence was written by Jefferson, and others did or didn't like some of the things at that point. You know, there was a lot of times that there was conflict even between people that we consider great people of that time. But at no time did any of the founders that I'm aware of promote tyranny or anything close to Mao Zedong's thinking, or Fidel Castro, or his brother, or Hugo Chavez, or any of the others. Never. Stalin? They would have taken Stalin out and shot him or hung him the first day they met him. For sure. I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good way to deal with people, but I'm just saying that's more likely what would have happened. He would have been seen immediately as a traitor to the very cause of what it means to be a citizen, eventually, of the United States. So I'm hoping that Mr. Beck is wrong, because if he's right, we're in big trouble, and we've got a lot of problems that that we're going to be facing in the near future. These problems could be so large as to reach way beyond the borders of the United States, and they may affect virtually every country on Earth. We have some serious thinking and soul-searching to do in order to determine what is really going on. And we should be asking a lot of questions to determine this. And we should be possibly thinking very heavily about every step that's being taken presently and what it means in terms of our liberty and whether or not it's being done to specifically remove that from us or for some other reason that we are maybe wrongly ascribing the removal of liberty for. So all this has to be taken into account. But I think that the rascals, unless they can prove themselves otherwise, that have been revealed so far should be gotten rid of. Now, a few of them have. I think two or three have been forced out of these positions because, believe it or not, it's just this one guy's show, apparently, that is doing it. I mean, it's being played on some other shows now. People are starting to pick it up. But it's amazing. This guy is the son of a baker. He's kind of a I've got to talk to him about his sugar problem someday. He tends to like a lot of different things that probably aren't that great for him. But he's doing a remarkable job in what he's doing. He's almost like a one-man show, but he has a staff, of course. And yet, this one person has gotten the ire up of the White House based upon things that are being said about him on their sites now. And also, he has gotten several of these people actually forced out of their positions because, if not for anything else, embarrassment, but beyond that, political needs, because the necessity is that you can't have this sort of person representing you if they've been outed. So he's going to try to out, I guess, everybody he can, and I think he should, if those people are for real, people who are spiritually committing treason. Now, what more can we do? I'm suggesting that we support all the things I just said and that we encourage the truth to come out about this as best as we can. But what more can we do to counter the potential of there being a present nonviolent potential revolution of taking over our government, possibly, if all of this were true? What can we do about it? Well, the very first thing is to let other people know about it, because this is too big for any smaller group of people to be able to handle if it's true. It's way beyond what even 100,000 people probably could deal with. But let other people know if you think that what I'm saying is accurate. You can watch this guy's show maybe next week and see what you think yourself. They have some of his old stuff, older shows, I think, up on the Internet. And you could check out to see how much validity there is to what he's having to say, because that's an important thing. Always be vigilant in trying to find truth. Challenge everything. I believe in that tremendously. Wrote that in the back of the textbook, that I wanted to challenge people to, as they read what I wrote, to verify for themselves the truth in or lack of it in what they were reading. I think that's a critical element. What else can we do? Well, those things that we find to be treading on the liberty of us, and no matter who's doing it, I don't care if it's the president. I don't care if it's the cousin of the president. That makes no difference to me. Whoever it is that is trying to do this, we expose them by bringing it to the attention of all the people who are against this sort of thing. You got to know who the good guys are, and you got to know who the not so good guys are. You got to be careful that some of the not so good guys might be pretending to be good guys. In these times, if you have this sort of thing happening, remember, unfortunately, treason is usually a crime that's carried out in clandestine means, in ways. It's not so, someone doesn't say, walk out with a big, you know, big new T-shirt on and say, ah, I am a traitor. It's not going to happen because part of their bag of tricks is to pretend that they're really trying to help us, right? So we have to be careful and be vigilant. I would also suggest that if this comes to bear to be more and more true, that we all vote in ways that removes the turkeys from office as quickly as possible, because our system, while being extremely, extremely well constructed, is not perfect. And if it goes too far, we could lose this country. It's possible. Someone could destroy the system and take over everything in the government, with us having no say-so or power left, no control to do anything other than to watch the whole thing go away. And I believe it would take just a relatively short time if nobody does anything about it. So voting is an important element. Not to say that voting is always the safest thing to solve the problem, because, I mean, let's face it, the way we vote these days, there might be a way to rig some elections. We know about this group called the Acorn People. They have been exposed. You know who actually kind of broke that whole story? The same fellow. I know it sounds remarkable. The same guy actually had something to do with breaking that story. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, he's sort of been all over the place, you might say, if you've heard anything about the Acorn folks. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're all traitors. When I say all, I'm talking about the people who started this thing and are running it. They're running it for nefarious and very, very dark reasons. I don't care about their rhetoric. It's pretty obvious where they're coming from. And, of course, there's a connection, whether or not people want to admit it, between that and those people in political office, because that's who's seemingly supporting them, and that goes all the way into the White House. So let that be something to consider if you've heard about the Acorn stuff, because that's another thing. Again, that was a Glenn Beck kind of, we'll say he got it going, for sure. No question about it. So be aware. Try to be observant and communicate with others. Communication with others is probably the single best defense we as citizens have, because collectively we're bigger than all of them together, and we have the Constitution behind us because it says we the people. It's our country. It's not their country. It's not the country of tyrants. It's not the country of traitors. It's the country of those who are citizens of the United States. I know this has been very ethnocentric to those of you who listen in other countries, but let this be a warning to you. No matter how safe you think you are in your system, if it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. And that is a scary idea. Well, we're definitely out of time here, and I don't want to run over. So I just thought that today's show, I realize, has been very, very political. I tend not to be political, but I can't keep this from not being so because of everything I'm seeing going on. So until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.